protecting the next generation.
Your child's not the first person to find an app. Somebody has found it before. You know, 9 times out of 10, it can just take a quick Google search and you can kind of educate yourself as to how this app operates.
The changing world of crimes against children. Today, in the Upper Cumberland. From child abductions to sexual exploitation of children to trafficking of children, crimes against children are evolving as our society evolves. We take a look at crimes against children circa 2025 with Joey Williams of the Cookeville Police Department's Criminal Investigation Division and Kevin Starr of the TBI, a member of the Tennessee ICAC Task Force.
Is this more people overseas? Is it people here in the United States? What's your sense of the makeup of the predators?
See a lot of both. Normally, for the people overseas, they almost kind of follow almost like a set script. And it's normally, at least from what I see on the reports and stuff, it's normally a lot quicker of an interaction, right? They're typically not spending weeks, months, or anything trying to interact with these children. It's just kind of a get-rich-quick scheme on their end. So we do see, at least on my end, a lot of, as he said, of teenage males becoming susceptible to, especially on Instagram, you know, someone in another country will pose as, you know, what they think will be an attractive 15 or 16 year old girl on Instagram and add, you know, teenage boys and kind of try to interact in that way to obtain this material. And we see a lot of overseas stuff is usually tied to some kind of financial gift card demand, cash demand, things like that. Whereas I think a lot of the stuff that occurs stateside is oftentimes kind of more ongoing. In some cases, you know, especially heinous, they're wanting children to self-harm. You know, they're willing to put in, you know, it's not a financial job for them or anything. This is just what they're into. This is their habit, their addiction, their, you know, what drives them. And so they'll really put that time in and really try to just gain kind of complete control over a child more often than we see with our overseas suspects. But I couldn't tell you an exact percentage, but I mean, it's not all overseas, and it's certainly not all here with people in the United States. I'd say it's probably close to 50-50, just a guesstimate.
All right, so let's go back to the children that get involved with these chats and messages and that sort of thing. Where does it generally go wrong? Like, where does the child kind of maybe think, okay, this is not going right, or I'm doing something wrong, or does the person overstep? Are there any general ways that kind of unfolds?
You know, hopefully that child has a trusted adult in their life that they feel like they can reach out to and talk honestly about something that's been going on. We find that's going to be a lower percentage because these predators rely on the child being ashamed of what's happened in order for them to keep it a secret. Typically, at least on our side of things, we typically receive the reports from the electronic service provider. So typically it's the platform that they're using that's reporting it to us rather than the child realizing something has gone wrong and then reporting it to a trusted adult. Those do come in. We do still get those citizen reports through the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and sometimes direct reports to the police department. But I would say it's a lower number than the actual platform reporting it to us from their monitoring.
A break, and then we continue our discussion about crimes against children with Joey Williams and Kevin Starr. Kevin Starr of the TBI, Joey Williams of the Cookeville Police Department, as we focus on your child's safety online.
the platforms have some responsibility in this.
The platforms absolutely have responsibility. It's mandated by federal law that if a platform recognizes that some type of solicitation of a minor or sharing of child pornography or child sexual abuse material happens on their platform, if they're aware of it and they monitor that it happens through their AI or whatever mechanism they have, then they're required by law to report it to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, who in turn report it to the appropriate law enforcement agency based on the jurisdiction.
Kevin, are most of the well-known platforms, are they all being monitored?
In some form or fashion. So as he said, you know, per federal code, they have to have some type of mechanism. However, I think it leaves a lot of room for the platforms to decide what that mechanism looks like. So quite a few of them have something on their back end that's kind of scanning, and I'm making assumptions. I don't know particularly how it works, but they have something on their back end where if they see a maybe some keywords in a conversation and maybe you know, a profile that appears to be underage engaging in a conversation with a profile that appears to be an adult, you know, that raises a red flag for them, and then it gets reviewed to see, you know, if it matches up, you know, some type of solicitation or sextortion thing. And then on some providers, and you know, I think specifically there's been a big change towards encryption for pretty much all meta platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, where for Facebook right now, we pretty much are only getting reports from Facebook if the one of the participants in that actual messenger conversation reports it to Facebook. So it could occur, never get reported, and the way I'm understanding it currently is that's the end of it. It doesn't automatically get reported to law enforcement in any way or fashion that you know, somebody has to actually report that conversation to Facebook, and then, you know, it has the potential to get referred to law enforcement, but that's certainly not always happening.
So, Joey, someone would sit here and say, okay, so these platforms in some form or fashion are reporting this. So why is it why the risk? Why for the perpetrators are they still willing to take the risk?
I would say because, like Kevin spoke about earlier, they feel like it's a relatively low risk for them. They try and hide behind several levels of anonymity. They try their best to mask who they are, fake usernames, fake email addresses, and things like that. Fortunately, a lot of times we're able to kind of sort through that and discover their true identity, and then go investigate further and try and make a case. But you know, sometimes they do succeed, and it's unfortunate. And there are a lot of victims out there that will never know that it even happened unless they report it to us.
To that point, can you even estimate, not really looking for numbers, but can you even estimate in your own mind how much of this goes on that never is reported?
I would assume a ton. I mean, we used to get quite a bit of leads and referrals from meta platforms, and you know, we don't get very many anymore. And I know that it didn't just stop happening there, you know what I mean? And then there's a plethora of encrypted apps that, you know, may not even, that are housed overseas, and you know, because of that, they may not really have a system to report or be required to have a system to report, where I'm sure this happens pretty frequently, and I've been involved in a couple cases where that's occurred. And you know, the only reason we knew about it was because a child, you know, made a statement, or a parent found out about it and referred it to law enforcement. So, I mean, it's happening a ton, and I haven't seen anything that would suggest it's slowing down by any stretch.
Just to give you an idea of the scale, you asked about how much is not being reported. Of course, I can't tell you that. Just for scale purposes, year to date this year, 2025, there have been over 9 million reports, cyber tips made to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children related to child sexual exploitation, solicitation of a minor, or sextortion by electronic service providers. So 9 million have been reported. I don't know how many have not been reported.
We're visiting with Joey Williams. He's with Cookeville Police Department's Criminal Investigations Division. Kevin Starr is with the TBI, Children's Safety in an Online World. Let's continue with Kevin Starr of the TBI, Joey Williams of the Cookeville Police Department, the changing role of crimes against children in our society today, especially in the online world.
As two members of law enforcement, is your job being made harder because younger generations see less wrong with floating pictures out there that someone in their 40s or 50s could never imagine sending that picture?
I think part of it's going to go back to the accessibility issue. You go to the schools and 90 to 100%, somewhere in that range, are going to have some type of cellular device that they own, that they carry with them all the time. And I don't know about you, but when I was 14, 15, 16, 17, I didn't make great decisions all the time. So had those devices existed at the same time period, I mean, we could have all been in the same boat.
So it goes back to just educating parents so they can educate their teens that, and you guys do this every day, the thought is when you put something on the internet, it's there forever. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Talked about educating parents. I would say for us both, that would be the most important piece of this. I can't say strongly enough how important it is for families to keep an eye on what their children and teenagers are doing online. I would encourage you to be a nosy parent, and I would make sure that you have every password to every application that you allow your child to use, and every new application they download, make sure that you know everything about it, because there are so many platforms and applications that have hidden or maybe messaging features that you didn't even know they were aware of. Even on online gaming, children that have access to, you know, Xbox, PlayStation things, there are chat platforms within those that parents may not even realize exist.
I was going to say, how much is the gaming world involved in this? Is that a way for a predator to gain access?
Absolutely. So on my end, I receive cyber tips kind of for most of the state, really. And so we get quite a few from like Rec Room. Roblox is huge. I don't know what it is about these suspects and Roblox, but for whatever reason, that seems to be a rampant with things like this going on. And then occasionally, I've worked quite a few cases involving this platform, but they'll oftentimes try to move to Discord, which is a pretty common application for people to use while playing video games. It allows, you know, video calls, group chat rooms, you can exchange media, pictures and videos, things like that. And so we see a lot of that occurring, and people will jump platforms, right? So they might start talking on Roblox and then say, well, hey, talk to me on Discord, download Discord, and then move to another platform and say, well, hey, let's go to something a little bit more private and move them to another platform. It's a pretty common method too. Yes, absolutely, and video games, and especially a lot of video games that are kind of geared towards, a younger audience. There's people on there that aren't children, or they may even be pretending to be children, hoping to find a child to victimize.
Let's spend a few minutes talking about sextortion before we run out of time. Joey, the teen male seems to be most vulnerable to sextortion. How does it start?
Typically, we're talking about a teenage male, 14 to 17, that area. Typically, it's going to be Instagram, Facebook Messenger, Snapchat. Those are probably the top three. Because it's a teen male, statistically, they're going to pose as a teen female, typically attractive. They're going to reach out and just send a simple friend request. And the teen male is going to open it, look at it, and say, well, yeah, I can be friends with that person. Again, they might start just a simple dialogue, be a friend, things like that. It could escalate quickly, or it could be something that, takes a week or two. But eventually they're going to try and convince this teenage male to try and send a nude photo of himself. And like we talked about, teenage males don't always make the best decisions. So typically a lot of times they'll do that. And then again, it flips almost automatically in the conversation when we review the transcripts. The suspect will then, hey, I've got your picture. They'll actually send them a screenshot saying, look, I've got your nude picture here. I've got your profile. I've got your friends list. I'm going to send this picture to everyone on your friends list if you don't send me $250 or $500 to whatever account, PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, whatever it is. And you know, a lot of teenagers don't have that kind of money. So that's kind of the driving force. The teenager doesn't know what to do if they don't have a trusted adult they can talk to about it. And that's the reason, because of the shame involved and because they don't have an ability to pay and they don't want this kind of material distributed to their friends. That's why we've seen the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children is aware of at least 36 teenage boys that have taken their own lives over this because they don't know what else to do.
So, Kevin, let's just say that the teen boy did have the money to pay off. Will it end there?
No. No, it's, you know, your best bet is to immediately refuse any kind of payment and, you know, make a trusted adult or authorities made aware. The moment you send anything, it's not going to stop there. And typically what I see is it gets worse, more demanding, the threats increase, the amount always increases. And so just, you know, it's not a one-stop shop. Well, I'll pay this guy $50 and he'll go away. That's never how it goes. If you send them 50, they're going to want 100. They're going to want any amount of money they could possibly get from you or your family before they stop.
Joey, I'm sure there are boys who just hit delete. They just hit close the chat. They close the message. Does it escalate from there?
Absolutely. Usually these people are professionals, the ones that are engaged in sexual extortion. We talked about whether they were in the States or outside the States. The ones that, at least that I know of, that are outside the States, typically in Nigeria or the Ivory Coast of Africa, this is a business to them. They're set up basically in like a call center, and there are dozens or hundreds of them, and they're all doing the same thing on computers and cell phones. And typically, they do their research. So if they have your Instagram profile, they also have your Facebook profile. They may have already dug into it and gotten your Snapchat account. So they're gonna show you proof that they know exactly who you are and who all your friends are. So by you deleting one app, you may not get any more messages from on that app, but they're going to attempt to continue contact with you. And they're not going to stop until they get paid or, you know, the information's been reported to authorities and somehow an investigation and arrest may be made. Be a nosy parent. I'd highly encourage it. As a parent, it's the parent's responsibility to know what their child's doing. So I would encourage them to, you know, get their child's device, make sure the child, you know, if they have passwords set up, that you know all the passwords. And I'd say it's probably a really good indicator that you might really need to take a look. If they've got apps you don't know about and passwords that you don't know and they're not willing to give them to you, I mean, I would highly encourage you to take that parental responsibility. And you know, a child's not entitled to a device. So you as a parent need to know what your child's doing on that device.